Welcome to Go For It, the Battle After the War. Today I want to continue on about DNA and how it affects us and how it affects our children. And I've been looking for studies, at least, you know, reputable studies, and it's been difficult. It seems like the last one that was done was in 2017. So that kind of tells me that either A, they're having difficulty getting funding, or B, they're having difficulty finding veterans who will volunteer from the Gulf War era. And I know that to be probably true because I hear that currently from the reputable studies, even the one that I'm involved with. By the way, mine ends, I thought it had ended earlier on last month, but it actually ends in, I think, middle of July is my last visit. So, my curiosity is, why am I not finding more gene studies, more reputable gene studies? And I'm not sure the answer to that question. It goes back to my AB example. But I found this one, and it proves that there's a problem. It says, Gulf War illness, or GWI, is a chronic multi-symptom illness not currently diagnosed by standard medical or laboratory test that affects 30% of veterans who served during the 1990-1991 Gulf War. The clinical presentation of GWI is comparable to that of patients with certain mitochondrial disorders. Clinically, heterogeneous, multi-symptom symptoms. Yeah, that'd really mess you up. And therefore, we hypothesize that mitochondrial dysfunction may contribute to both the symptoms of GWI as well as its persistence over time. We recruited 21 cases of GWI. Looks like in Kansas, 7 controls to participate in this study. Peripheral blood samples were obtained in all participants and a quantitative polymerase chain reaction-based assay was performed to quantify mitochondrial and nuclear DNA lesion frequency and mitochondrial DNA, or mtDNA, copy number from peripheral blood mononuclear cells. Samples were also used to analyze nuclear DNA lesion frequency and enzyme activity for mitochondrial complexes 1 and 6. Sorry, I'm not up on my Roman numerals. I think that's 6. Both lesions frequency and mtDNA were elevated in veterans with GWI. Relative to controls, nuclear DNA lesion frequency was also elevated in veterans with GWI, but did not reach statistical significance. Complex 1 and 6 activity were similar between groups, and greater mtDNA lesion frequency was associated with reduced complex 1. There's a lot of technical jargon here. And enzyme activity. In conclusion, veterans with GWI exhibit greater mtDNA damage, which is consistent with mitochondrial dysfunction. So they've proved it up to a point. So people need to show up for these studies. Need to figure out a way to get more of Gulf War veterans involved so that we can figure out what's going on. The statistics that are listed here are old. They're 2017 statistics. This is approximately 25-32% of veterans who served during Operation Desert Storm and SHIELD are afflicted with a chronic multi-symptom illness referred to as Gulf War illness. The clinical presentation of GWI is heterogeneous, though characterized predominantly by fatigue, widespread pain, exercise intolerance, and cognitive dysfunction. As symptoms of GWI span multiple high-energy systems, mitochondrial dysfunction appears biologically plausible. Patients with mitochondrial disorders present with multi-symptom symptoms displaying clinical heterogeneity and tissue-specific manifestations. Tissues and organs that rely predominantly on oxidative phosphorylation for energy production are often those that exhibit the greatest pathology when mitochondrial function is compromised. Despite this overlap in multi-symptom presentation and heterogeneity, among patients with mitochondrial disorders and veterans with GWI, only two recent studies have investigated mitochondrial dysfunction in GWI. Specifically, Kozlik et al. Measured post-exercise phosphocreatine recovery and skeletal muscle, an indirect measure of mitochondrial capacity following ankle flexion exercise in veterans with GWI, and observed prolonged phosphocreatine recovery in comparison to controls. In addition, Abdullah et al. Reported alterations of certain plasma mitochondrial lipids among veterans with GWI. Therefore, whether mitochondrial dysfunction is involved in the pathobiology, GWI remains to be established, but is under active investigation. Mitochondrial dysfunction has previously been hypothesized as an explanation for symptoms underlying GWI, particularly in the context of environmental exposures during deployment. Examples are carbonates and organophosphates. Emerging evidence supports this rationale as mitochondria are increasingly recognized as a target for environmental toxicants. In fact, mitochondria appear uniquely susceptible to toxicants as a result of 1. Accumulation of toxicants due to the high lipid content of the mitochondrial membranes, slight negative charge of the mitochondrial matrix, and presence of metallocation. That might be a typo. Transporters, and 2, ability to activate organic compounds via mitochondrial cytochrome, the presence of the reactive oxygen species generating electron transport chain, reduced repair mechanisms for mitochondrial DNA, mtDNA, in comparison to the nuclear genome, and the potential for toxicant exposure to increase the endogenous level of production of reactive oxygen species. While the role of oxidative stress in generating mtDNA mutations is currently continuous, contentious. mtDNA is highly sensitive to oxidative damage, and mtDNA copy number may also be altered by oxidative stress. Specifically, increased intracellular reactive oxygen species may initially lead to mitochondrial biogenesis. Examples: increased mitochondrial content as an adaptive response, but over time could damage mitochondrial DNA, proteins, and membranes, leading to mitochondrial dysfunction and mitochondrial DNA depletion. No studies to date have evaluated whether mitochondrial content and/or damage is elevated in veterans with GWI. An increasing number of studies has described altered mtDNA content and damage in circulation and genetic and non-genetic diseases with associated mitochondrial dysfunction, suggesting that circulating mtDNA may serve as a marker of disease status. These findings are of particular relevance to GWI, which currently relies on case definitions derived from self-reported symptoms. In light of the clinical presentation of veterans with GWI and the susceptibility of mitochondria to environmental toxicants, we hypothesize that GWI is maintained in part by mitochondrial dysfunction that is detectable by elevated levels of mtDNA content and damage in circulation. Therefore, the primary goal of this preliminary study is to examine markers of mitochondrial damage and function in veterans with GWI related to controls. Specifically, we utilized a quantitative polymerase chain reaction based assay for the quantification of both mitochondrial and nuclear DNA damage, which has previously been used to identify mtDNA damage in the blood of patients with known mitochondrial dysfunction. And they reference Friedreich's ataxia. And actually, that's Friedreich's ataxia. It looks like it's German. Friedreich's ataxia. And that's the end of this study. Well, actually, there's materials and methods, but I'm not going to read through all that. But it shows that there is DNA damage done to our body based on the GWI symptoms that we experience. And if you remember in my earlier casts, I explained why there's no code for GWI as of yet. And it's because, I'll reiterate, all of these symptoms that fall underneath GWI are actually illnesses of sorts. GERD, IBD, IBS, multiple sclerosis, there's just tremors. All that stuff is an actual issue. So if we have codes for each one of those, then we're doing good. Ultimately, yes, it would be great if we had a code for GWI. I don't know that that's ever going to happen, especially if we can't get people out there to get involved with these studies. It's so important. Part of this is fuel. It's ammunition for our fire. And we need it. You have to get out there and do them. Find a way. Like I said, I'm almost done with the CoQ10 study. Unfortunately, it hasn't given me any benefit, even though they say some people are experiencing cognitive benefits and they're experiencing a little more energy throughout their day. I'm out of breath right now as I'm talking. I am not getting the same benefit. I can't say that the CoQ10 is responsible for what I'm feeling because it's my normal day-to-day symptoms. They just seem to be more exacerbated over the past month. And I've also noticed that my vision issues are getting far worse. My double vision is becoming more prominent. That's why I'm stumbling through what I'm reading. I see a lot of words twice, so I have to kind of move the phone or the tablet in and out a little bit, or make the words just a little bigger than normal, or you know, the things that we can't do or couldn't do in the past with books. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have the ability to zoom in and zoom out right at our fingertips. It certainly helps. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. The gene issue I'm finding extremely interesting, and if there's anybody out there who's got knowledge about genes that is willing to get on here with me and do an interview, I would love to learn more. I would love to pick your brain. I would love to do a podcast interview with you if you're willing and able, because this is interesting and this is what I've always thought. And when I've spoken to people, especially during the RAC meetings, I hear veterans talking about their children are being exposed, or they have been exposed, and they're showing symptoms. They're showing some of the same symptoms. You know, these things are interesting, and it's good to know. It's good to know what to look for. You know, what can be transferred, if not everything that we have. So that's pretty much all I have for today. I hope everybody's doing well. make sure you're wearing your masks. I know it's a pain in the butt, and it's just one more thing that we're doing that the government is telling us to do. But it really is, at the end of the day, for your benefit. You know, we're already sick. If something as simple as the flu can take us down, I mean, I know when I get the flu, I wonder from day to day if I'm going to wake up because it's so bad. The flu symptoms are far worse since I discovered GWI and the symptoms that came along with it than it used to be before I went into the military. And even after I got out, you know, all of these symptoms that I have, they didn't come on all at once. They were piece by piece. They just came on fairly quickly. You know, it was within months of each other that I started experiencing all these issues. But anyway, that could be another cast. I appreciate all the support. I hope you'll share, and please subscribe. As I've said in the past, I do release a new cast every week. And another plug, I said last week that I was going to be writing a book, and I'm looking for 25 veterans or possibly some family members to speak to. I want to interview you. I've done, I've done four now. I have still that one in reserve. So I'm looking for a handful more to get this completed. I am hoping to have this edited and done and ready to publish in the beginning of 2021. And I'm hoping that I can get more people involved, more people educated. I don't want anybody to forget. I mean, they claim that we were in the shortest war. However, 29 years later, we're still not only fighting that same war, but we're also fighting the aftermath of it. So let's keep this in the limelight. Let's make people start talking about it. That's my goal. Don't forget to bump elbows with a vet. Have a great week.